Good morning to everybody. This is the third lecture of a series. Yesterday, you remember, we spoke about this new barrier spray for overweight and athletes. Then we spoke about moisturizers and keratolytics in psoriasis. Today, we will spend a few minutes discussing about how to manage a patient with senile cirrhosis. This is a very common problem in elderly, I would say, in all patients aged 65 and over. 50% of individuals within this age, they will have cirrhosis, skin cirrhosis, which clinically is characterized by rough, scaly, and often itchy skin, mainly involving these extremities of the body. So I would say it's whenever I have a patient who complains about that, I said that is almost a physiological condition past a certain age. Pruritus, itch, is often associated causing psychological distress, discomfort, and the quality of life, of course, decrease in affected patient. To be honest, the itch is not so dramatic in all patients, but it's very annoying. So the patient, they don't like, they have to itch, but does not really affect, in the majority of cases, in my experience, does not affect so dramatically the quality of life. The pathogenesis is multifactorial and still poorly delineated. Although a genetic susceptibility is likely to promote its development, there are patients, there are old patients, old lady who have a perfect skin, even if they are 80 years. So there is some genetic susceptibility. Intrinsic changes in the stratum corneum and several environmental factors may play a crucial role. What are the intrinsic factors? We know all, most of them. In the skin of elderly, what we observe is a decrease of water and lipid content in the stratum corneum. We have an abnormal keratinocyte differentiation resulting in thinning of the epidermis. And then we also decrease in size of sebaceous sweat glands and decrease in the vasculature. On top of that, I would say also there is also thinning of the dermis. So the skin of the elderly definitely is different from the skin of a young patient and is more prone to develop cirrhosis. Don't forget that we have also extrinsic factors, which are dry and cool hair, low humidity, hot showers and bath, alkaline soaps or aggressive detergents, skin powders, and intense exposure to sunlight. So I would say that considering this extrinsic factor in the table, we should advise and make sure that the patient does not go through some of this, because this may play a major role in triggering or making the cirrhosis worse. How to manage this? There is some, you see from, again, this is from Lebohol, soap avoidance, humidification, emollients, bath oils, and then second-line therapies, there is with A of evidence, urea-containing creams. We already spoke yesterday about urea. Just a little bit of recap. Is a polar hygroscopic molecule produced by the human body. So we produce urea that plays an important role in the metabolism and excretion of proteins. I said yesterday, but it's important to remember that it's derived, the urea in the skin come from the phylagrin. We know what is phylagrin, and it account for 7% of NMF, natural moisturizing factor. And just a little bit of history, has been used for more than a century in dermatology, and is effective for condition associated for dry and scaly skin. We have discussed yesterday also of the possibility of using different urea concentration according to what is the problem we want to handle, if it's a dry skin, or if it's a thick hyperkeratosis, if you want to have a moisturizing, or we want to have a keratolytic action. So we have low concentration, less than 10%, or high concentration, more than 10%. We will just focus 5 minutes about the moisturizing actions with low concentration, and just remember how it works as a moisturizing action. So urea is act as a humectant, so attracts and retains water in the stratum corneum. And it's able to attract water for two sources, the dermis, so pull up water from below, or pull water from outside, humid condition, pull water from the humid environment. Very interesting action. There are a good amount of papers who demonstrate the efficacy of urea in concentration less than 10% in several skin conditions, including, as you can see in the list, including ichthyosis, atopic dermatitis, psoriasis, diabetic foot, mild keratosis, contact dermatitis, radiation-induced dermatitis, sorafenib-induced skin reaction, tinea pedis, and pruritus, and so forth. Just for your knowledge, is available in different formulation and concentration, provide several alternatives to improve the management of skin condition. Look at the different formulation in the world of urea, how it's available. Amazing, all of this. And also the concentration, 2, 4, 5, and 10 are the one who are below 10%, and then so forth up to 50%. We discuss now about the clinical indication of urea-based products with low concentration in senile xerosis. And this is a trial, a preliminary trial we have done on a group of patients using a 10% urea cream, 20 patients, 65 to 82 years, so senile xerosis, moderate to severe in terms of clinical grading, upper or lower extremities. Those are the area most commonly affected. Exclusion criteria, we did not include a patient with diabetes or a patient with topical, we're using before topical moisturizer or systemic treatment for xerosis in the previous 30 days. Methodology, 10% cream twice daily for 2 weeks. Those are the assessment, clinical assessment. So we evaluate the degree of skin dryness by using a 4-grade severity score from 0 normal to 3 severe xerosis. Degree of surface scaling using 10 magnification dermoscopy, using a 4-grade severity score, again 0 absent to 3 severe scales. And then, of course, we evaluate pruritus by VAS. So score obtained from each assessment were added up so to achieve in each patient a total score ranging from 0 to 12. Excellent. The treatment response we evaluated at 14 days and 28 days. Their treatment response were rated as excellent when the total score were reduced more than 70%, good when it was between 40 and 69, average less than 40, poor less than 20%. Tolerability and cosmetic acceptability was also evaluated 40 days and at 28 days. Those are the scores, the results, and as you can see, all patients completed the study. All scores show a significant statistical improvement, person test demonstrated a correlation between clinical and dermoscopy evaluation. So you see, this is the clinical evaluation. You remember was from 0 to 3. So we're 2.5, almost moderate to severe cirrhosis at baseline. And as you can see, those are, of course, are mean values from 2.5 to 0.2, which is a very interesting result. So it works, definitely. Itch from 2.1 to 0.6. Dermoscopy, 2.765 to 0.4. So as you can see, the total for each patient was 7.2 at baseline, reduced to 1.2 at the end of treatment. Overall, at the end of the study, the response was excellent in 16 cases and good in the remaining 4 cases. No side effect. 10% is usually well tolerated. All patients gave a positive response. It's not sticky, does not give that greasy feeling. This is important because, especially in chronic situation like this, what we recommend to use is daily. And so if the product does not have a good feeling from patient, does not give a good feeling, it's difficult that the patient may continue to use. But this was not the case. 14 judged the product excellent and 6 as good. Just to conclude, I think it was not necessary to give you a lot of slides of dry skin before and after. 2 exemplary cases, 65-year-old with severe cirrhosis on the lower legs, have been using basic moisturizing with minimal results. And as you can see here, which is a common situation, this one, this is a baseline. This is after 7 days, 14 days, excellent response. Again, 60-year-old woman with moderate cirrhosis of the upper arms. So I decided to include the lower or upper arms, for example. She reported limited achievement with moisturizing product and also complaining of moderate itch. The problem with the common moisturizer is that they don't really moisturize it so well. I mean, they're basic humectant rather than moisturizers. So they soften the skin, but they do not add water on the skin. This is the difference between humectants and moisturizers. Here, baseline, after 7 days, after 14 days, and here, excellent response. And again, other cases, those were seen at dermatoscopy, baseline after 14 days. Again, another case with more severe before and after 14 days. So the result indicated that 10% urea cream showed progressive clinical improvement and related pruritus in all patients represent, I would say, a promising approach for mild to moderate senile cirrhosis, safe and well tolerated, no report of stinging, burning, or other side effects. This is important as contact dermatitis is also common in elderly patients. So you have also to consider when they have stinging or burning that the patient may be allergic to some of the components. In my opinion, its use can likely be for long term. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Thank you for your always interesting lecture. Sure, you have questions. You can't go without questions. Okay. So first is, what type of cleanser would you suggest for elderly patient?
I would say that it's very important to accompany the treatment with a cleanser who match with the moisturizer that we are going to use. So I would recommend not necessarily need to be a special cleanser, but a cleanser which is mild. There are cleanser who may also have some humectant activity, but the most important thing is to use a cleanser which is non-aggressive and mild and compatible with the treatment we are going to. We don't want to use an aggressive cleanser and then move to urea, because then we will probably create some irritation, or we would not offer, we will not offer a great combination. So mild cleanser with pH close to physiological skin, physiological levels, and urea.
And so since urea has moisturizing capacity also over 10%, do you consider as a moisturizer up to 20, 30%?
This is a good question. I would say moisturizer and start to have, as I shown yesterday, a keratolytic action. So if we want to have the best moisturizer action, only need to be up to 10, 12% maximum. Mm. If we go over, we have moisturizer, but we have start to have also some keratolytic action. So this depends, of course, of the clinical presentation. But 10, 12% is the optimal percentage to get a moisturizing action.
And do you recommend urea also in a diabetic patients?
Why not? Why not? There is no contraindication of using urea in diabetic patient. There is no.
So I just have a comment. Because of the action that you showed of urea, that is taking the water from inside and from outside, would you recommend to use the cream after the bath when the skin is still a little wet, or you can use it every day?
It's a good question. Yeah, you can use after the bath. Yes, why not? I recommend to dry well.
Yes,
to dry
sure,
well,
sure first.
And then to apply urea. Yes, yeah. That's a good point. So there is more water.
More water, because you have a little bit still okay. On the skin that you can...
Okay, yes, that. Very smart, very smart. Okay, it's a good point. I will put in the next... in the next talk as a recommendation. Thank you.
I check for a question. Here, see the connection is not fantastic. So probably, yeah. Okay. Let me check for question. Okay. Okay. Different humectant capability between urea and the salicylic.
just to make clear that urea is a moisturizer. So humectants or emollients are the one who soften the skin. So they do not attract water. So salicylic acid is a keratolytic. So if we consider urea, low concentration is a moisturizer. So attract water from outside and from below. Salicylic acid is a keratolytic. Urea and salicylic acid can be compared when urea goes up to 20, 30%. But in this case, 20, 30% urea or keratolytic, they do not have humectant or moisturizing action. They only break the bonds between keratinocytes and cause the thickness of the stratum corneum to decrease.
Thank you. Thank you, Giuseppe, for your fantastic lecture.
Thank you. Thank you to all.